Hey, this is Sean McGee from Apocalyptic Lovers. You're listening to Power Rock Podcast with Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, today I am super excited for today's show, because I have on the line guitarist and songwriter, Mr. Sean McGee of Apocalyptic Lovers. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Sean, I got to tell you, it's an absolute honor to have you on the show. You know, thank goodness sometimes for social media. I heard some of your music via Facebook, and I really wanted to do this interview with yourself, because I find Apocalyptic Lovers to be just an amazing band.
Thanks for having us, and we appreciate the compliment for sure.
All right, man. Why don't you give us some history about Sean McGee, play some songs off your EP throughout the interview. So what I'd like to do is turn the floor over to you.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks again, Jim, for having me. Myself, started playing guitar at 14. It was actually an Ozzy album that got me into playing guitar, Diary of Madman. Started taking lessons, and at some point I started writing songs, or, you know, very, very rudimentary songs. And then shortly thereafter got into a band and really just fell for the idea of being a rock star.
Your band, Apocalyptic Lovers, it's a very new band, is that correct?
Well, it has, the band itself has history. Currently, yes. As it inception, as of right now, it's a new band, but it has a history way back to the early 90s. Comes from a band out of Youngstown, Ohio called Love and War. It was with David, the drummer, and Mike, bass player, and Rob, the singer, and myself, and it's all the same players. But we had, I will call it, a 20-year hiatus, so to speak. I had moved away from Ohio, and everyone has lost touch with each other. In fact, all the band members are in different parts of the country. David's in Arizona. Michael, the bass player, is in Virginia. Rob is in Pennsylvania, the singer. And I'm myself right now in Rhode Island. So somewhere along the line, David decided to get in touch with everyone and see if there was any opportunity to do anything, let alone what it has become as of right now. So what he did is he reached out to me, and I think he reached out to the other fellas separately, but he reached out to me and said, hey, I have some lyrics of a song. Be willing to write some music to it. And I said, sure, send it my way. We did that, sent it to him. It took a little while. I hadn't written anything in a long, long time. So it took a little while to put it together and sent it to him, and then that really was the catalyst to get things going. He enjoyed it. He liked it. He sent it to the other guys, and everyone kind of jumped on board. So I call it. It was like January, and I don't remember the year, but it was fairly recent. August of the following year, we all went to Pennsylvania. Mind Rocket Studios, the wonderful Josh, who runs the place, recorded us, and we did the 8 songs there. At that moment, we had no indication or wherewithal that we would be getting involved with Michael Wagner. That came much later. So we recorded the songs, and they started mixing, and David reached out through intermediary, managed to get in touch with Michael Wagner and asked him about mixing what we had recorded, and he was open to the idea. At the moment, we had some funds to allow this to happen. Sent the masters to Michael Wagner, and he mixed them up. And then April last year, the album came out called Redemption Volume 1. Now it seems like a brand new band.
Right.
It seems like a brand new band.
Right. Now, where can the listeners purchase your EP?
They certainly can get it on Amazon.com, and they can go through our website, which is apocalypticlovers.com. But limited edition CD. That is sold out, but they can get the regular version on Amazon, and they can get there through our website, which is probably the easiest way to go.
And I want to encourage anyone that is going to listen to this interview that's absolutely a must, because it is definitely a great EP, man. It really, truly is.
Still, again, thank you for the compliment. You're a very nice man.
Well,
you're out of Syracuse, right, Jim?
Yes.
How was upstate New York today?
Upstate New York was very nice, but actually, it's very cold right now. It's like 56.
It's a very odd spring and early summer we're having. in the northern part of the country, are we not?
Right. I just came. Actually, I originated from New York, and I've been gone for 30 years, and I just came back 3 months ago. I was living in Georgia.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I came back for personal reasons, you know, and I'm trying to get acclimated to the back to the New York deal, and you know, it's a work in progress, you know.
Oh, you're funny. That's fair enough, my friend. Fair enough.
All right, Sean, what was the most defining moment in your life that made you want to become a rock and roll guitar player?
When I said, I want to play guitar, it was the guitar solo in Over the Mountain on Ozzy's Diary of Madman album. It was one note. It was just one note, and I went, what is that? That was the defining moment. And right after that, I got a guitar, and I got lessons. It was right after that. As far as being a rock star, I got to tell you, I was playing I was living in Connecticut. That's where I grew up. And playing this town called Clinton, Connecticut, and they had a Bluefish Festival. Sounds funny. But they had a Battle of the Bands. And we did the Battle of the Bands with some guys that I just managed to meet through the music store, the local music store. And keep in mind, these are really small towns. I mean, you know, very, very small towns. And we did this show, and we did three songs. And oddly enough, two were originals, and one was a cover. And I was like, holy cow, this is what I want to do. It was, and truly enough, since then, At that time, I grew my hair. Can't grow it now, but I grew my hair and tried to become a rock star.
That's awesome, brother. Let's go ahead and get to one of your tracks. The song I want to talk about is called Better Days. Can you give the listeners some history about that song?
Certainly. While I was writing most of these songs, the idea of a struggling musician was very much real. I was extremely poor. I was giving blood to eat. I had a terrible car. So the idea about better days was, I don't want to say anger infused, but I knew there was better days ahead and there were better days from the past. And that was always kind of like a beacon of light to keep trying and keep working hard and, you know, just, you know, keep your head to the grindstone and keep pushing ahead. And, you know, short but sweet, but that's really the catalyst of it. Just keep going. But, you know, difficult time, but it was good. It tests your mettle. It sees lack of, pardon the pun, test your metal, but it, you know, it really makes you see what you're worth. You know what I mean?
Right on, man. Well, here it is, my friends. Better Days with Apocalyptic Lovers on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. Welcome back. We are with Sean McGee. And Sean, you know, first of all, amazing song. But, you know, you said something before we played the song about, you know, eating and struggling and all that. So that's going to lead me to this next question, actually. Was there ever a moment or a point in your life where you just lost the passion and desire to sing and play guitar and write? If so, what did it take for you to rekindle it?
You know, it took time. And yes, the first part of the question, yes. It was, I was, again, still within this band. And I think the change in temperature of music, certainly with alternative music, changing away, simply trying to break through a wall that we just couldn't break through, it was wearing on me. And, you know, I wasn't old, but, you know, mid-20s, and it just, you know, again, you can only struggle for so long without, you know, really wanting to have a different kind of life. So I certainly, the passion had gone away, and that's a great way to put it. The passion did go away, and I simply left the band. I moved back east from Ohio, and I simply, it's hard to believe, I stopped playing guitar for like 10, 13, 14 years. I simply just had an acoustic guitar, got rid of everything. It was almost like it was something you love so much that you just learned to hate it, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense, man.
So I didn't play, and I did other things, and I got into different careers and, you know, did other things. And then simply one day I pulled out my old guitar, and I didn't have an amp. I mean, I had nothing. I had my old guitar and an acoustic guitar, and I just bought an amp. I must have been walking through a music store. It was like a by-chance situation, and I just picked it up, and I bought this amp, and I started playing again. And I got to tell you, Jim, it was really hard to play because, you know, muscle memory aside, they don't work, you know, if you don't use them. I was like, wow, this is like starting over. And then I started playing, and it was fun to play, and I was enjoying playing, and I was, you know, getting very articulate with it. And then one day I was just like, maybe I should go jam with some guys. So I went on Craigslist. Guys were looking for a guitar player. I was pretty honest about it. I said, I don't know what I want to do, but let's just jam. And hard to believe the passion for playing music was there again. And very hard to believe. I was surprised. And started doing that again. And then, you know, a little shortly thereafter, David got in touch with me to write. And I have to tell you, writing a song was an incredibly rewarding thing. It was very, you know, like I needed to do it. It was like one of the most wonderful stress relievers. It was like a welcome home thing. You know what I mean? It was very comfortable, very comfortable. So, and now we're back doing it again.
Very cool. And, you know, I like the way you explained that. I mean, you know, you know, some people will kind of sugarcoat their real emotions, but, I felt, that you were, extremely heartfelt with that. And, I appreciate that. And I respect that.
No, I mean, you know, again, I'm as clear as they come, so to speak. I just, you know, but it's, you know, I don't think it's, I don't make up things of what I'm doing or feeling or how it is. You know, if I like something, that I'm in. If I don't, then I'm out. And, you know, going back to when I was done, I was done. And I wasn't going to waste anyone's time. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have that. I can't do that. I can't do it. I don't want to do it halfway either. You know, and again, if we were going to do this right now halfway, I'd probably wouldn't be involved, you know. So you have to be all in, and you have to like what you're doing,
right?
You know,
on
side by, you know, I mean, there's, as you know, with streaming and everything, there's no money involved in any of this. So if you don't like it, then you're just spinning your own wheels.
I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, you know, I think the days of becoming a rock star are really becoming harder and harder, just simply because the industry is getting harder and harder. You know, I mean, these things are not what they were 20 years ago, you know?
No, it's a whole different makeup. It's not the same. It's not the same model. It's a different model to be. And it's not just music. It's just entertainment. And how are you going to entertain is really the goal, the key. It's not how you're going to write a great song. You can listen to it on the radio. You can listen to it in our genre or others. How good is the music? How good is the song? Is there anything in the last, I'll say 20 years, that is just such a great song that when you hear it, you're like, I got to listen to the song. Doesn't matter who it's from. Doesn't matter what, you know, band, dance, rap, whatever. I personally can't think of anything that is just worth anything in the last 20 years based on the music industry's model. That's all. Just based on that. And I'm sure there was a girl, a guy, a kid, an old man somewhere who has written the best song ever in the last 20 years, but he can't get it to the radio.
Exactly. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, you said something, you used the word 20 years, which is going to take me to my next question. And it's this, brother. What is one piece of advice that would give your that you would give yourself 20 years ago?
That's a great question. 20 years ago. Well, see, that's so funny because you can't tell the future. And at the time, when you're doing something, you believe that you're doing it all for all the right reasons. So I, as stupid as it sounds, I would say build a time machine and go ahead in the future and see what's doing. But it's best advice is, geez, Jim, that's a great question. Because I look back and I don't regret anything. I don't regret the decisions I made, even as poor as I was and as destitute as I could have been at times. I still enjoyed what I did. The experience that I had, majority of them were positive. The fact that I was able to recover from so much of that, it's just wonderful. So the best advice is to continue to stay strong, believe in what you believe in, and keep going. You know, keep going no matter what the cost.
All right, now what I want to do, Sean, is I want to talk about the song "Dying Days." How about some history, brother?
Hey, still back then, I was an angry cat, and I'm sure I was mad at something. Dying Day. Could have been somebody in the traffic lane. Somebody could have cut me off. Could have been at the convenience store, didn't care for the soda that they served. Could have been anything, but I was an angry young man, and I'm sure that fueled all the fire of that song. Pretty good heavy song in D. D can be one of two things, the heaviest of keys or the saddest of keys. Actually, I think C is the heaviest of keys, but D can be the saddest. Never mind, I'm going off a tangent. Sorry, Jim.
No, man.
Sorry, brother, but angry when I see you on your dying day. I think it's more about, hey, look what you're doing to me now, but I'm going to see you on the other side, and pretty well, you know I'm going to be up on you, and that's pretty much what it means. I'm going to be up on you in the end, so don't you worry about it.
All right. Well, here it is, Dying Day with Apocalyptic Lovers on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
People that you made.
back. We are with Sean McGee. And Sean, you know, great illustration of that song, man. That is just a definitely well-written, well-composed song. And overall, great stuff, man.
I appreciate that. Thanks
all right.
again, Jim.
What sure. piece of music advice forever changed your way of thinking?
Wow, I don't recall any advice. I would say, I will tell you what my mindset was at one point, and I was dead wrong. I could be pretty naive at the time, and when you have a lot of passion for something, you believe in yourself more than others would believe in you. But I believe that if the band or the individual is good enough, that people will come to you, and they not that you're worthy of it or deserve it of it, but if you can prove that you're, you know, you have something to offer that fits a record company or people, they will come to see you. And the fact of the matter is that I was just dead wrong on that. And that was actually quite the thing to swallow, a bitter pill to swallow, if you will, because I was like, I can't believe that as hard as we're working and as well as we're doing, that nobody's interested. And that changed, that certainly darkened my spirits a bit.
Next track I'd like to talk about is called These Tears. Would you mind
yep.
giving some history?
Sure. I mean, These Tears is about, it's about loss. You know, it could be about anything, a relationship, a girl, a dog, a cheeseburger. You ever drop a cheeseburger on the floor? I mean, it hurts. It hurts bad. It hurts deep inside. So you got to write a song about loss. And, you know, and it's also, you know, I'm thinking the chorus in my head. It's probably directed more in a relationship type way. But, you know, I'd like to know the reason I was let go. It's like, well, where'd you go? Why'd you leave? Tell me, you know, was I a jerk? It could be anything. It could be, you know, whether it's relationship or friendship or wherever you want to apply it. But it's, you know, sometimes it's difficult to follow. It's like, where did this person go? And why was it so easy for them to go? And when you're left with that, just in the ashes of whatever you're left with, you know, you contemplate those things.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, brother, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear These Tears, no. Apocalyptic Lovers on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
We'll be right back.
ask you this, man. What would you say that defines a successful album, whether it would be Apocalyptic Lovers or someone else? What's your definition of successful?
Longevity of the popularity of an album. Simply longevity. It doesn't even have to be a big selling album, but you know, you take an album, I mean, just you can go back as far as you want, but why, and I don't have the answer to this, but why is The Dark Side of the Moon still a popular album, right? Why does it still sell? Why does, I know why Back in Black still sells, right? I can tell, you know, certainly Michael Jackson, Thriller still sells. Those albums, things that stand the test of time, you know, those are successful things. Even think classical music. Think of all the classical songs you hear in movies, on the radio, in the background. Why do they stand the test of time? I mean, excuse me, why are they so successful? Because they stood the test of time. Take an Elvis song, right? Take, what is it? I can't even think of the song. Beatles song. I mean, we're talking early in rock history, and they kind of, you know, left this, you know, marked, and so they're going to be very popular anyways. But those songs, if they were bad, you know, they you wouldn't be listening to them. And longevity is the answer. Longevity, that's a successful album, song, and or group. You know, somebody, I mean, think about the bands that are still touring aside from the Rolling Stones, you know? I mean, how does some of these bands, and I don't mean it in a bad way, 30 years ago, some of these bands would never get away with that now, right? And it, maybe it's nostalgia, but that's a whole different subject. But.
Well, you know what? I think I'd like to add to that because, you know, in my opinion, we talk about bands that are still performing today from 30 years ago. You know, although great bands, there's a boatload of them out there. But I also think, and of course, this is just my opinion, Sean, is that people are afraid of change. They are comfortable, and there are so many amazing bands like Apocalyptic Lovers out there that need to be heard, but the public is holding us, the people are holding in this 70s, 80s type of genre, or era rather, that it's so hard to move from it, to escape it.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think a lot of that has to do with what I mentioned, it as nostalgia. I mean, when you first heard whatever song, think of one of your favorite times and one of your favorite, or think of one of your favorite times and what song was playing, right? So that song always brings you maybe back to that memory or that feeling, and you just love it. I mean, I love the sound of the 80s music. Love it. Are there bands today that I like? Sure, absolutely. Do they give me the same feeling? I can't lie to you. No, they don't. So I'm as guilty as the next person, you know? But having said that, some of the stuff that I truly enjoy and I think is wonderful isn't necessarily successful. It is in my eyes, but in the view of the world, it's not, because it just has not stood the test of time. So, I mean, you bring up a good point, and people are way afraid of change. I mean, you know, they find that one comfortable place and that one comfortable time where their life is good, and they're just kind of afraid to step out of their box, for lack of a better way of putting it.
It's actually, I think, feel it's very unfortunate, but it's just the way of the world today, and you know, hopefully that will change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I even me as a guitar player, I mean, I was stuck in 80s metal, and that was probably a lot of my frustration, is that I didn't know how to break free of that, and then other than just abandoning it. I came back to guitar with a whole different approach, and I'm not saying I play any better, worse, or otherwise, but I got to tell you, I play thoughtfully, and you know what I like, Jim? I like songs. Now, before I was trying to make the best solo or the best riff or the coolest thing, I got to tell you, there's something wonderful about a three-chord song that you can just make a great melody over and have people sing along to it, you know?
Well, give me an example. Give me an example, Sean. You know, who are some of your musical influences?
Well, I mean, simply, I mean, the first thing was Ozzy as far as influence. Then I got into Doc, and then Yngwie, for sure, for the, you know, articulation of guitar. And then, you know, I was into some heavier stuff. I mean, there's, you know, everyone was into Metallica. That's easy. But, I mean, there's, you know, the band called, you may play in Vicious Rumors, from the late 80s, early 90s, they were great, and they're still pretty good. But I got to tell you, I loved Night Ranger. I would listen to them all the time, play their stuff, and then I would listen to Anthrax, you know? So I had a wide palette of metal influence, But you know what one of my favorite bands from the 80s were? The Cars. Love The Cars. I could play their stuff all the time. Don't know why. Love them.
No, actually, so. I remember the song, what Let's Go by The Cars.
Let's Go.
Unforgettable riff.
Exactly, and it's the most happy. It's played in a happy key. It's played in A major. It's a happy key. I think it has probably four chords. It has four chords, and it's a great sing-along song. So what's wrong with that? Nothing. But you know some of the stuff we love in our genre? Three chords. I mean, songs are simply AC/DC. Three-chord songs. Three, four-chord songs. Great stuff, right? Can't get enough of it.
Kind of like Eddie Van Halen. You know, I mean, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you can't. Yeah, Ain't Talking About Love. It's two chords.
Right.
It's really two chords. You got. It's insane. But it's not. But it's not. And you know something? It goes back to your question from earlier. What's a successful album? Well, our band. That first Van Halen album stood the test of time, and it still does. And they play it on the radio all the time, all the time. It's what that Running with the Devil, or of course, You Really Got Me, or of course Eruption. I mean, and that changed guitar. That changed everything.
Next track I would like to talk about is called "Who the Hell Are You?" How about some history?
All right. Well, going back to the theme of being angry, I'm sure I was very angry. There's an underlying tone. That is really not necessarily true. That we had a manager at the time that we were not getting along. That part of it's kind of true, but the song probably came from the all-around frustration of being where I was in life, and I had the chords in my head, and I just simply something. It doesn't happen like it's like oddly organic how it happens. And "Who the Hell Are You?" popped into my head, and I was like, "Hey, that might work," and there it was, and then it became that song. And the end is great on that song, because if you want to feel any angst, the end of that song is just great, because it tuned the guitar down and it's just heavy. And that song was written with everything I was feeling at the time, which was just anger, frustration, despondent, kind of at the end of my rope, if you will. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I hate to say, the guys will listen to this, but I hate to say it was the beginning of the end for me, but I'm sure it was. You don't know that at the time, but it was pretty much I was getting to the end of my rope right there, which is what it was, just is what it is.
All right. Well, here it is. "Who the Hell Are You?" with Apocalyptic Lovers on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
I've been waiting so long.
right, we are back with Sean McGee. And Sean, you know, we're going to go ahead and close this show out, but I want to ask you one more question. The question is this, my friend. What type of legacy would you like to leave to your friends, family, and fans when you pass on?
That he was who he was. He was a good all-around guy. Took care of what he cared about. And didn't leave anything poor along the way or anything negative along the way. Really simple. Really simple.
Cut and dry.
Cut and dry. Real, just a good dude. Took care of the people he cared about, and didn't really care to be a. Because I'm not a. You know, it's funny. I don't want to go. You know, tear your ear off here, but talk about all the angry songs that I wrote. You know, something. Very happy, positive guy. You know what I mean? Very happy. You know, I. But again, when you get into your subconscious, other things come out. But no, just all good, all around guy. Took care of things, took care of people, took care of the ones he cared about, and moved on and didn't ask for anything from it. You know, that's all. Simple.
And Sean, what we're going to do now is we're going to close it out, man. And what I want to say to you, brother, is that I truly wish yourself personally and the band the utmost success in all that you do. And if you don't mind, my prayer for you is that God just keeps blessing you guys and you guys take this industry by storm, because Apocalyptic Lovers is a band to be reckoned with.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. With the support of individuals like yourself, I think we'll do just fine together. What do you think about that?
Totally agree.
I do appreciate the time, Jim. It's been nothing but a pleasure.
All right. Well, there you have it. An interview with Sean McGee of Apocalyptic Lovers. We're going to go ahead and play one more song. This one here is called Killing for a Living. Peace. We'll be right back.